Welcome to Rapidly Rotating Records, an hour of toe-tapping music from rapidly rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s with yours truly, Glenn Robison. We've got dance bands, hot bands, sweet bands, show tunes, novelty tunes, blues, jazz, and more on everything from Aeolian to Xenophone and by everyone from Aronson to Zerke. On this evening's show, we'll celebrate the birthdays of Roy Bargy, Billy Hillpot, and Rudy Valley, get into some Rex, and listen to this past week in recording history. Last week, July 31st, marked the birth in 1894 in Owego, Michigan, of pianist Roy Bargy. He grew up in Toledo, Ohio, and began studying the piano at age 5. He had hopes of becoming a concert pianist, but couldn't afford to study in Europe, so his musical career began playing piano and organ, accompanying silent movies. In 1919, he moved to Chicago and was hired by Charlie Strait at the Imperial Piano Roll Company as a composer and piano roll editor to compete with QRS Piano Roll's star, Zez Confrey. Bargy made his first disc recording with Charlie Strait and Paul Bees in 1919 as the Imperial Three. In 1921, Charlie Strait introduced Roy to booking agent Edgar Benson, who hired him as pianist and musical director of the Benson Orchestra of Chicago. After just a year, Bargy left to form his own orchestra, taking many of Benson's musicians with him. This group disbanded after a few years, at which time Roy joined the Isham Jones Orchestra. In 1928, he was hired by Paul Whiteman, where he remained for the next 12 years and became number two in the band as Whiteman's assistant. When he left Whiteman in 1940, Roy was active in radio, leading studio orchestras, and in 1943, he was hired as Jimmy Durante's musical director. Bargy stayed with Durante for 20 years until they both retired in 1963. He died in Vista, California on January 16, 1974. Roy Bargy was also a composer, and here are three of his compositions. Thank you. Isham Jones and his orchestra with Roy Bargy on piano, September 15th, 1924, and Feedin' the Kitty. Before that, we heard the Benson Orchestra of Chicago with Don Bester leading the band after Roy Bargy had left, but playing a Roy Bargy composition, Foolish Child, August 27th, 1923. We began our little tribute to Roy Bargy with the Isham Jones Orchestra once again and Roy's tune Get Lucky, recorded in the same session as Feedin' the Kitty. I'm Glenn Robison, and you're listening to Rapidly Rotating Records, bringing you vintage music to which you can't not tap your toes from rapidly rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s. Last week, in connection with our 9th anniversary, I played The Wreck of the Number 9 by Vernon Dalhart. Well, here are some rapidly rotating records about some other wrecks, beginning with the Goofus 5.
Every 10 years, see what a jump he made. the strength that God gave him. He tightened the brakes with a prayer, but the train kept right on down the mountain, and her whistle was piercing the air. She traveled at 60 an hour, gaining speed every foot of the way. And then with a crash it was over, and there on the track the freight lay. It's not the amount of the damage or the value of what it all cost. It's the sad tale that came from the cabin where the lives of two brave men were lost. They were found at their posts in the wreckage. They died when the engine had failed. The engine has still held the whistle, and the fireman still hung to the bell. This story is told of a freight train, and should be a warning to all. You must be prepared every moment, for you cannot tell when he'll call.
The Wreck of the Number 9 by Vernon Dalhart, which I played last week, was a fictionalized wreck, but we just heard Vernon Dalhart with the freight wreck at Altoona, which was based on an actual train wreck. On November 29, 1925, the Pennsylvania Railroad eastbound freight train VL-4 was being pulled by engine 1262. 3.3 miles outside of Altoona, Pennsylvania, the engineer applied the brakes for some unknown reason. When the train started up again, the engineer didn't check the air brake system, and the train derailed after hitting 60 miles an hour on the downgrade, killing the engineer and the fireman, with most of the cars destroyed also. The song was copyrighted on January 30, 1926, by Carson Robison, with lyrics by Fred Tate Douglas. Dalhart's version, made for Columbia on January 15, 1926, was the first recording of the song and was released on March 20th, with Dalhart credited on the label as Al Craver. Before Vernon Dalhart, we heard Bessie Smith and Shipwreck Blues, her own composition recorded by Columbia on June 11, 1931. Shipwreck Blues was preceded by Carl Fenton and his orchestra in March of 1925 and Wreck of the Southern Old 97. The vocal duo there was Billy Jones and Ernie Hare, better known as the Happiness Boys. We began that wreck of a set with the Goofus Five, the quintet of members of the California Ramblers recording for OK and Parlophone, and Ramblin' Wreck from Georgia Tech. The vocal trio on that January 7, 1929 recording was Cyril Pitts, Tom Muir, and Ed Kirkaby, manager of the California Ramblers and later of Fats Waller.
Have a particular song or artist you'd like to hear on Rapidly Rotating Records? Well, you can send your requests and your comments about the show by email to glenn@rapidlyrotatingrecords.com or send cards or letters to Post Office Box 145, Claremont, California, 91711. That's Glenn, G-L-E-N-N, at rapidlyrotatingrecords.com or Post Office Box 145, Claremont, California, 91711.
Last week, July 31st, marked the birth in 1904 of vocalist William Arthur Hillpot, better known as Billy Hillpot. He attended Rutgers University, where he became a member of Cap and Skull, the Senior Year Honor Society. Only 18 new members are selected each year, and admission depends upon excellence in academics, athletics, the arts, and public service. While a student at Rutgers, Hillpot played banjo with a group known as the Rutgers Jazz Bandits, which included pianist Harold Scrappy Lambert. In February of 1925, they teamed up to do an act as the Smith Brothers, Trade and Mark, of cough drop fame, which was eventually broadcast over radio station WEAF. Ben Burney discovered the duo and signed them with his band in 1926, where they remained until 1928. In addition to singing with Ben Burney, Lambert and Hillpot also sang with Joe Venuti and his New Yorkers, Frank Black, Harry Archer, Sam Lennon, Jacques Renard, Nat Shilkret, and the Virginians. Billy Hillpott died on February 25, 1985. Here are Lambert and Hillpott with Vincent Lopez and his orchestra.
Oh, honey, you know I hiding from me does no good. Wherever you go, I'll be in the neighborhood. If you run, I run faster, I'm gonna stick. Like a plaster, I get a kick following you around.
Was the only recording I could find of Billy Hillpot without Scrappy Lambert. That was Billy Hillpot, credited on the label of that Liberty Music Shop 78 as Billy Hughes, with Bob George and his orchestra and How About It. Liberty Music Shop started as a Victor Records dealer in the 1920s and by the late 30s had three locations catering to an affluent New York market. In 1933, they started their own private recording label, which featured recordings of dance music by the likes of Enrique Madriguera, Emil Petty and Ted Strader, personalities such as Ethel Merman and Ethel Waters, and specialty acts like Casper Reardon and his harp. They also recorded some of the most famous risque nightclub performers of the time, including Dwight Fisk, Nan Blackstone, Bruce Fletcher, Francis Maddox, and Beatrice Lilly. Between 1933 and 1942, they produced about 200 records. Before How About It, it was Lambert and Hillpot with Ben Burney and his orchestra and Following You Around from March 14, 1927. We began the set with the duo backed by Vincent Lopez and his orchestra on There Must Be a Silver Lining from February 14, 1928. I'm Glenn Robison, and the show is Rapidly Rotating Records. We're here each and every Sunday evening at 6 on KISL FM 88.7 Avalon in New Zealand on the Wellsford Country Radio Network 105.8 FM and available on demand anytime at all online at rapidlyrotatingrecords.com and shamrockradio.com. This past week, July 28th, marked the birth in 1901 in Island Point, Vermont, of Hubert Prior Valley, better known as Rudy. In 1919, he began self-study of the clarinet, but after hearing a recording by saxophonist Rudy Weedoft, he switched to that instrument, and after about a year, he was able to play publicly on the stage of Portland, Maine's Strand Theater. In the fall of 1921, he entered the University of Maine and joined the Sigma Alpha Epsilon fraternity, where fellow fraternity members, knowing of his great love of Rudy Weedoff's playing, nicknamed him Rudy Valley. In the fall of 1922, he transferred to Yale University in Connecticut, which accounts for his later use of the orchestral name Connecticut Yankees. It was while playing with the Yale Collegians that he took to using a megaphone to enhance his voice, and the megaphone became one of his trademarks. In 1924, he went to London, where he played sax at the Savoy Hotel with the eight-piece Savoy Havana Band. Bandleader Bert Lowne and Valley formed a band, and in January of 1928, Bert got the band an engagement at a small cafe called the Hi-Ho Club, whence came Rudy's radio broadcast introduction of Hi-Ho, Everybody. In February 1928, Bert Lowne talked WABC into broadcasting the orchestra, and they were soon broadcasting 25 times a week. Following the WABC radio broadcasts was a string of box office successes, including the 1929 picture Vagabond Lover. Early in World War II, Valley entered the U.S. Coast Guard service, where he toured leading a 40-piece band. He enjoyed a reprise in the 1961 hit musical How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying, and recreated the role in the 1967 movie version. Rudy Valley continued to perform around the country right up until his death in 1986. The last couple of times we've done a segment on Rudy Valley, we've had him singing, but here are some others singing compositions Rudy Valley had a hand in writing, beginning with Skinny Ennis and Saxie Dowell.
Loves a halfback at Northwestern, loves a guard at Old Purdue. She loves a tackle at Wisconsin and a center at IU. She vamped a fullback down at Harvard, loved an end at Notre Dame. I'm just a substitute from the Institute, but she loves me just the same. Heard him in a show. Now she listens for him daily on a brand new radio. I am taking vocal lessons. I am out to win some fame. When she hears me go, vote Leon Dodo, she will love me just the same.
You know, my gal runs around with a fella from way up in New York. She does a little coating with a man out there in San Francisco. Every once in a while, she gets a letter from a duke or something over yonder in Europe. But she's just fooling around because she don't care about nobody. She just loves me.
Some girls are quickly forgotten and gone with the dawn of a day. But some you remember like last glowing embers haunting your memory and dreams. For I'm just a vagabond lover in search of a sweetheart, it seems. And I know that someday I'll discover her, the girl of my vagabond dreams.
Thank you.
we began our little tribute to Rudy Valley with Skinny Innes and Saxie Dell vocalizing with Hal Kemp and his orchestra on She Loves Me Just the Same, written by J. Paul Fogerty, Joe Sanders, and Rudy Valley. That recording is from October 30th, 1930. Skinny Innes was with Hal Kemp as a drummer and vocalist until he left in early 1938 and formed his own band, and Saxie Dell left the following year, going on to write Three Little Fishes and leading his own sweet band. Next, it was Al Goodman and his orchestra with an unidentified vocal on I'm Just a Vagabond Lover from April of 1929. I'm Just a Vagabond Lover was a hit from the 1929 Rudy Valley Sally Blaine picture, The Vagabond Lover. Valley co-wrote the song with Leon Zimmerman. The inspiration for the title of the song may have come from Rudolph Firmel's 1925 hit Song of the Vagabonds. We finished up with Chester Layton and his sophomores, a Ben Sullivan pseudonym, and Two Little Blue Little Eyes. The vocalist on that May 21, 1931 recording was Dick Robertson. Two Little Blue Little Eyes was written by Paul Francis Webster, John Jacob Loeb, and Rudy Valley.
Doing our part to keep alive the music of the 1920s and 30s, this is Rapidly Rotating Records. Sunday evenings at 6 on KISL-FM 88.7 Avalon and available anytime on demand online at rapidlyrotatingrecords.com.
It's time now for that feature of the program we call This Week in Recording History. So-called because it's here where we play rapidly rotating records celebrating birthdays, having been recorded this past week in years past. Here to start off this edition of This Week in Recording History is Frank Benta. Thank you. We began this edition of This Week in Recording History with Frank Banta and a piano solo of his own composition, Sailin' Along, from a Banner 78 waxed this very day, August 2nd in 1927. Next, it was the University Six, a group from the California Ramblers on the Harmony label, featuring Adrian Rollini on bass sax and Oh, If I Only Had You. That was recorded exactly 1 year before Sailin' Along on August 2nd, 1926. We finished up with Eva Taylor, accompanied by Clarence Williams on Come On Home, from an unissued Edison 78, waxed August 2nd, 1929. I'm Glenn Robison, and you've been listening to Rapidly Rotating Records. I hope you'll tune in or click in again next week, and as always, I thank you for your very kind attention.